taking the attitude of Christ. First, we must recognize who Jesus was. He was God incarnate. He was God manifested in the flesh. Manifested simply means he was exposed as, or he took on the character of Christ in the form of flesh. He was literally God manifested in the flesh. And because he was God robed in the flesh, he was able to be our example in attitude. He was more than qualified to show us how to be humble and how to live a life of humility. Amen. He said in John 14 and 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works." Did you know that God himself dwells in you? It's called the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the scripture says the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. Humility is a truth. Forgiveness is a truth. Love is a truth. Kindness is a truth. That's why we need to put on all these attributes. Oh, Lord, just layer it on. Let me put them on to be more like you. Amen. But Jesus, he is the visible, tangible image of an invisible God. And I tell you, your search for God and for truth and reality, it all ends in Jesus Christ. He is the consummate of God. Amen. And Jesus told Philip, he said, "When you've seen me, you have seen the Father." When you see me, Philip, and the things I do and the way I act and the way I perform, you have seen God Almighty. Amen. So when people see the spirit of humility in your life and in my life, they are literally looking at a characteristic of God himself. We are a direct reflection of Jesus Christ and of God. Amen. The reputation of Christ. Jesus Christ did not preserve his reputation compromising the truth or assuming the role of some royal, majestic king when he came. We all know he took on the form of a servant, and we read in our text in Philippians, was made in the likeness of men. Jesus didn't need a reputation, so to speak. And I know I've read a lot, the Jewish people in the time of Christ were under the Roman oppression and all this sort of stuff. And quite honestly, they were looking for a king like David. They were looking for a king to be born. They knew the Messiah was coming. They knew a king was coming. It done been prophesied. They'd already read all that stuff in the Old Testament. But they was expecting one with a sword on his side. And somebody that would let the blood flow if he needed to. But he didn't come like that. They told him on the hillside that day, "Until you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Just a little baby born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Not the royal robes that the children of kings were wrapped in, but a poor little baby. That was their king. I'm telling you, if there ever was an humble beginning, that was. And we need to practice that humility. Amen. Putting on the garment of humility. Jesus displayed those deeds of servitude. He was compassionate and he was sensitive to the needs of the people. I tell you, we have to have the attitude of Christ, putting on his attributes. The next thing, the obedience of Christ. Jesus being our example, he humbled himself, became obedient unto the death of the cross. And because of his obedience, he redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. I'm telling you, he took our sins. He became sin, that I might be made free from sin. I think a lot of times sin is literally the absence of God. Sin comes from the original word harmartia, which means to miss the mark. It was used a lot of times of people that were shooting the bow and arrow and stuff. It was used that you've missed the mark. Sin is literally the absence of God. And I thought many times on that cross before he died. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I said, well, for the first time in his life, he began to feel the power of sin on him by taking my sins, your sins, the sins of this world. And suddenly he felt what it was like to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm so glad that he was humble enough and had the spirit of humility to do that for me so that I could stand here in 2014 and not only study to help myself, but to try to teach somebody else about having the character of Christ. God, I pray, help me, Lord, to exhibit everything you did. I slip and fall. I make mistakes, but God, you're able to pick me up and help me live the kind of life you would have me live. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for anybody we're willing to tell him about. We got to deny ourselves and put on the garment of humility and be obedient to the word of God. I tell you, living for God is a privilege. And I tell you, exemplifying holiness is an honor. Amen. The practice of humility. Humility must not only be vocal, but it must be indeed. There's an old adage that we use a lot of times, actions speak louder than words. And if you expect humility from your fellow man, you have to practice humility. Amen. We talk about the golden rule, do unto others you have him do unto you. You can read this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. But what I like is that last phrase in that chapter. It said, this is the law and the prophets. I'm not just telling you something on a whim. I'm telling you what I'm telling you about treating people the way you want to be treated. Literally is the law and the prophets. Amen. So what else must we do? We must lead with humility. I tell you, leadership is an awesome responsibility. And I thank God often about the leadership in this church and what we have as leaders, God-fearing men that will tell us what God tells them. I tell you, it's not an easy thing to be in the place of leadership. It's really not. You not only have your problems to deal with in your immediate family, you got the problems of everybody sitting in this room. And I tell you, some people have to call quite often. You know, I don't know if it's all necessary, but I tell you, I our leadership, and I said, Lord, let me try to deal with most of it on my own. Don't let me try to bother him. But I tell you, leadership is an awesome responsibility. I tell you, leaders have to hold themselves, what I believe, to a higher standard than anybody else. And I don't mean that condescending. I don't mean that at all. But I'm just telling you, people are watching the leadership, because the congregation is no stronger than the leader. Amen. And when the leadership shows humility, the congregation will show humility. Amen. And I know a lot of times compassion is what needs to be shown when a good rebuke is in order, seem like. Sometimes you have to kind of have to temper your words and let the Holy Ghost kind of temper what you need to say and what you're going to say. That's where humility comes in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I got to hurry. We're not going to finish. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, heavy-minded, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I'm telling you, that writer right there, Timothy, it sounded like he was describing 2014. If I've ever heard it, that's it. And I tell you, living in the last days, we need to be aware of the condition of this world and the attitude of this world, that we don't be caught up in all of that stuff. And I'm telling you, I thought about the last part of that. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I have read more and more about people who are not living right in this world, but declare themselves a Christian and declare that they go to church. Brother, that is having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it says, from that sort of stuff, turn away. If you're trying to justify the way you're living and living in sin by saying, well, I do good, I love my neighbor, I go to church, and I'm a nice guy, that's a form of godliness, but denying the power. And God have mercy on them. I still love them. I love everybody. I hate the sin that's going on. And I'm telling you, there's such a, I told my brother the other day, there's such a push for this sin of alternate lifestyles and the sin of homosexuality that has begun to shove itself onto society today. Why? Because it is one of the most powerful spirits in the earth today. That power of procreation and that power of love or lust in some cases of one to another is second only to survival. The need to survive is number one. The second most powerful force is the power or the force to procreate. And that is why it is such a powerful thing. People don't understand, but they burn with lust one for another just like a man for a maiden. And it is sin in the first degree. It is called an abomination unto God. And if he can get that thing prevalent in our children, I'm telling you, Satan is no respecter of persons also. It doesn't matter how young he has to start. He does not care if he can get a spirit of that in those people. I'm telling you, we need to turn away from that stuff. Amen. I'm glad I know godliness, and I'm glad I know holiness. And godliness and holiness cannot be legislated. It has to be taught by the Spirit of God. I've already told you, the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truths. Amen. You can know a truth and not know the truth. But we need to know the truth and let the Holy Ghost lead and guide us. Amen. Submission to others. 1 Peter 5 and 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And if you read that scripture, pay attention to it. You know, I always say, well, you know, respect the hoary head that Brother Gidrow talked about. Respect the gray hairs and the older people. What I'm telling you what, old folks, we need to listen to the young folks. Anybody ever heard of a guy called Samuel and a guy called Eli? Who listened to who when he realized what was going on? And I heard our pastor say the other day, he was talking about a scripture with his son. And David enlightened you to something on the scripture. I heard you say that. There's nothing wrong with the old folks. And that's what the scripture says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Amen. I'm willing to listen to anybody that's young that has something good to say and can teach me something. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Oh, yes, you can. I got an old stray dog coming in my yard, and I just about got him learned. He don't belong there. He's an old dog. But you can teach him a new trick. A lot of times it's difficult for a younger person to submit to an elder because a lot of times they feel like the old person's out of touch and doesn't understand the younger generation. But I'm telling you, old folks, we need to listen to the young ones sometimes. Amen. My time's up. I need to go. Know ye the Lord, he is God. Psalms 100, chapter 100, verse 3. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. And last but not least, Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. If I have that spirit of humility and I'm able to walk humbly before God and man, he says, I dwell in the high holy place with him also. Amen. So there is no garment that is beautiful as the one of humility. So let's put it on and let's keep it on. Let's don't just take it off when it might seem convenient, but let's have the garment of humility. God bless you this morning. I love every one of you. And I just want to try to teach us something to enhance our walk with God and to keep us close with him. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back for morning worship in just a moment.